Anyway, our next guest might be able to shed some light on this issue. Tim Pallas, the State Treasurer. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Tom. Good to be with you.
Now, Michael O'Brien, your predecessor, has said that the contract he signed over a year ago was a legal contract, and that the side letter, which I'm calling the poison pill letter, which said even if the contract was not legal, compensation would still be paid. He said all that's above board. Now, you've got to deal with this now. What are you going to do?
Well, the first thing that we're going to do is let the Victorian people know what an act of treachery this was. Now, first up, the government, when presented with this news of the side deal when they're in government, denied its existence. Now we've got Michael O'Brien putting it out because he knows it's imminent, its release, together with the contractual terms will be released.
Well, the weird thing is, but he has chosen to release it. I have it here, and he sent it to me. So although I did ask him for it last year and he said it was confidential, but he did acknowledge it did exist, but he couldn't be, I wasn't allowed to see it. I now have it. So he's chosen to release it.
He's chosen to release it because he knows the release is imminent, and he certainly wouldn't release it when Victorians had an opportunity to vote on the appropriateness of his action.
Mm.
But the letter itself says that if there is anything that is illegal, invalid or unenforceable, forget about it, don't worry about it. Now, quite frankly, that is an act of economic vandalism against the state's interests. It's an attempt to tell the people of Victoria, well, look, regardless of how you vote, we are going to make it such a cost burden upon the future opportunity of the state that we will encumber you with this for the future.
Okay, well, it's funny you use the term economic vandal because he said exactly the same thing about your leader, Daniel Andrews. But leaving that aside, I don't want to get involved in the sort of insults that get hurled across the parliament during question time. I mean, the point is this, though, that there's also an opinion here by Alan Myers QC, who's a very well-renowned barrister, and he says that even leaving the side letter aside, it's a legal contract, that the government had the right to sign it, and that there's various bits of legislation that allow the governments to sign major road projects or whatever it is. And so leaving aside the side letter, it was a legal contract anyway.
But the courts will need to decide that.
Well,
if ultimately that's where it goes.
Okay, but is a barrister saying that it's a legal contract.
Wait a minute, Tom. We have two barristers who contradict that, and they're both QCs, Finkelstein and Nile. So if it's lawyers at 10 paces, then so be it. But quite frankly, we produced our advice publicly. All we have is a one-page memorandum that basically seeks to say that even if you've acted beyond executive power, it's legal.
Okay, so the situation you're in, you still maintain that it is not, or potentially not, a legal contract, but you are bound by this side letter that was signed on the 29th of September last year.
No, we don't accept that either.
You don't accept that.
And in fact, what we said at the time when we released the Finkelstein and Nile QC advice was that if action was beyond the power of the state, a side letter equally was beyond the power of the state.
Okay, so are you going to pursue that?
Well, our hope is that we can work through a negotiated settlement. We understand the responsibilities upon a state government are to essentially seek to disentangle ourselves from what is nothing short of an act of economic vandalism, nothing short of an obscenity against due process, nothing short of a trashing of the right of the people to vote on infrastructure of such significance.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, but it just seems to me, we were not in the caretaker period of government, and governments can sign contracts. And let's just say it was a legal contract. I know that's up for dispute, but let's just say it was. You know, future governments are always bound by the contracts signed by previous governments. I mean, that's just normal. I mean, Ted Baillieu was bound by the desal contract, which the previous Labor government signed.
It was about 70% built at the time.
Okay, but the point is, I agree with you. In fact, I've been around the desal plant, and I'm glad it was built.
There's a lot of people holding carbon credits who saw them rendered worthless by the federal government.
Okay, but that's a separate issue. But the general point here is that as much as people disagree with it, and yes, they voted for you and not for Michael O'Brien's government or Dennis Napthine's government late last year, the point is, the principle that if a government signs a contract that a new government should honour it is a pretty important principle, don't you think?
Well, I think it's a very important principle, but you have to act lawfully and appropriately. And remember the terms of the side deal. If we've acted illegally, don't worry about it.
Okay, but you say you're not going to try and challenge this in the courts. I know you've got...
We're not saying that at all.
You've got investment banker John Wiley negotiating a settlement at the moment.
We want to try and work this issue through responsibly and sensibly with a consortium who through no fault of their own, are essentially caught up in a process of this nature.
Okay. Well, I mean, Michael O'Brien, last year when I asked him about the potential size of the compensation, and he had alluded to it on air last year. I don't know what he had said to you, but, I mean, he gave me the impression it was in the $500 million range. He said today that it could be north of $1 billion. What sort of settlement are you seeking to negotiate? Is it hundreds of millions?
Oh, well, Michael O'Brien will make up any number that suits his political
circumstances. Well, what's your number, though?
Well, I don't have a number. This is the principle that we're applying here.
Well, First of all, John Wiley's negotiating a deal. I mean, you must have said to him, no more than X or something like that.
No, we're at a point where we're saying, we want to know what your sunk costs are. We want to know how much skin you've got in the game from the investment.
This is the East-West Consortium.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Will you offer them some sort of other deal, like if you push ahead with the rail project, for example?
No.
Would you say to them, you'll get a preferred position?
No. No. That would be entirely inappropriate. Let me be clear. We have probity auditors participating in the negotiations. We are very clear about the fact that we understand that we have to disentangle ourselves from this, but we're not going to create another problem, and that is disadvantage other people who are seeking to participate in a competitive tender for other work.
Right, so whatever compensation is negotiated between John Wiley, the East West Consortium, and presumably signed off by you as the State Treasurer, that will be the end of the matter. So there'll be no other side deals or no promises of future work. It'll just be that compensation and that will be it.
That will be it. I mean, we're going to be pretty clear with the people of Victoria. The practices of the past, where side letters and secret business cases that disadvantage Victorians to the tune of billions of dollars that don't actually produce any benefit.
Right, okay, but you just said billions of dollars again. So, I mean, are we saying that maybe compensation could be to the tune of billions of dollars?
The point I make is that the business case that we released demonstrates that for every dollar the state government invested, it got back less than 55 cents. Less than 45 cents, rather.
Let's just say that John Wiley negotiations don't go all that well, and the consortium says, you know what, bugger it, we're owed $1.2 billion and we're going to hang out for that because we don't think we'll get any work in the future and we want as much money as we can get, and the bill to the state is over $1 billion. Would you consider, given that the state government was only going to have to put in a couple of $1 billion, would you consider building the road and getting all that money from the federal government and the money that was going to be put in by the consortium? Would you do a U-turn and maybe consider building the road?
Look, I think the temper of the times, modern politics is about people wanting politicians to say what they mean and do it.
Yes.
We gave a very clear commitment to the people of Victoria. We would not build this road.
So no broken promise?
We will not.
Definitely not going ahead.